Welcome to the Bold Beans Podcast. I'm your host, Bold Mama L. I'm a believer in possibility, and I have spoken on stages, on air, in print, and in one-on-one sessions with thousands on the subject of boldness versus fear. I created this podcast so that you could become more confident, more authentic, and more vulnerable in your everyday life. In each episode, we will explore real life stories and provide you with real life tools that can help you reclaim, remember, and expand your birthright power and freedom. Welcome to episode 8 of the Bold Beans Podcast. Hello, hello, everyone. We are definitely in a new way of being. And for some, that could be frightening. For some, that could be exciting. If you are a follower of my work, you know that I don't believe we should fear our survival. And so I believe we get to choose how we want to interpret where we are right now. And a lot has happened since the last time I was in the podcast world. A lot has happened with me, a lot has happened in the universe, and it's going to continue to happen. And so one of the things that, well, I believe I was in America the last time I did my podcast, and a lot of reflection was required. I didn't like to have to take the break that I took before making the next podcast, but I honor what I hear on the inside. I'm a rebel on the outside. And I've been a rebel since I was a kid. You can ask my mother, you can ask any of my family members. But on the inside, I pay attention. And there's really good reasons why I do that. And today's story is going to help you understand why I'm a devout inner listener. Okay. And I highly recommend that we all become more acute to the inner voice that we have inside, because it's going to help us navigate through these very interesting times. When you hear today's story, you will see why it's going to be important more than ever to get real clear about what you believe. And I think that if you're listening today, that you are of the heart of the caliber of person that is interested in the well-being of the whole planet, not just what's going to happen to you as an individual. But I'm also going to encourage you that you become more familiar and more acquainted with your own relationship with vulnerability, because it's going to actually be it's going to be a tool. It's going to be a resource that you can access in ways that are really going to provide you with a lot more freedom. So if you're the type of person who doesn't like to, you know, say anything in a Zoom class, or if you're the type of person who doesn't like to comment if you're on whatever page or post, or if you're the type of person who wants other people to go first if you're having a chat somewhere in person at a park, or, you know, you might want to shift that. And the reason is because you don't want to have something inside of you called regret. You want to put it all on the table. So today's story is a mix of divine inspiration, your own inner voice, your own inner strength, and a splash of vulnerability. I was outside again. I was hungry again. And I had no idea how I had gotten to San Francisco. I could not remember how I ended up in the city that I was in the position that I had been in before. Where was I going to go? My grumbling stomach was in charge, basically, guiding the way, pushing me for an answer, twisting me for an answer, twisting and contorting and growling and grumbling and forcing me to figure out what to do next. Signs, look for signs, not the kind of signs that you look for if you're in a yoga class, or a sign that you're looking for if you're meditating from the comfort of your own home. No, not those type of signs, a real sign, signs with arrows, signs with directions, signs that can tell you where you are and where you need to go. And the first sign I saw was a sign that said BART, get to Berkeley. I managed to get change This time I knew I had to get changed because I had already tried to hop a turnstile before, and that didn't work out so well. So there was no hopping, there was asking, and that led me to a real seat on the BART. I'm headed to Berkeley. And the growling and the grumbling and the twisting and the contorting is probably embarrassing, but I'm so far past anything called self-esteem, I can't even afford to be embarrassed. All I can see in my mind's eye is that I will go out of this BART station and I will walk upon the promised land, and there will be all sorts of people with tambourines and long hair and laughter and joy and one extra pot of something hot to eat. And that will stop the grumbling and the twisting and the contorting that my life has somehow turned out to be. And when I exited the BART station and walked up the steps with a pace that only an excited child at Christmas could possibly have, the drop in my heart at the look of the people that represented and resembled nothing like what I was hoping for in my mind's eye. Broken is not a strong enough word to describe how every part of my whole entire being felt. I was crushed to no end. Hopeless is not a strong enough word to describe the state of the inside of my spirit and my soul. I walked into the center of Berkeley campus and I fell to my knees. And I screamed out so loud, "God, why me? Why me? Why me? Why me? Why me? Why me?" And with both arms up and my head up toward the sky, just when I thought an answer would come, two security guards came over to me and lifted me up and carted me off of the campus. And I was so deflated, I wasn't even able to use my feet. And I got grass stains on my knees as they just drugged me, as if they didn't have a heart, as if they didn't care, as if all they needed to do or all they cared about doing was removing this trash, this grumbling, rumbling, contorting, twisting, yelling, and screaming trash from their campus. They pushed me toward Main Street, and a little glimmer of rebel inside of me used the sleeve of my shirt to wipe the snot mixed with tears from my face, and somehow I started to take steps that put me in the same rhythm as the people walking toward the street lights in front of us, and I just kept walking, and they kept walking, and all of us were walking, and somehow I seemed to blend in when a bus stopped at the traffic light, and off came a man who looked at me as if he knew me and asked me where I was going. And the light turned green and we kept walking, and I said, "I'm just going to the bookstore." "Oh, okay. Well, I'm just going to go over here," as he pointed to a pizza place, "and I was going to ask you if you wanted to get something to eat." Now, if you know anything about this point in my life, there was nothing glamorous, there was nothing cute, there was nothing even clean about the state that I was in. And so I wasn't even sure if he actually meant what he was saying or if he was somehow making fun of me. And he could tell in my eyes that I was apprehensive, and he said, "No, would you like to come and join me for something to eat? We'll get a slice of pizza." And so I straightened up as much as I possibly could with a vague memory of somehow having confidence at some point in my life. And we walked inside and they sat us at a table for two. And I looked at my menu and I kept looking up as I was looking down, looking up to see what he was going to get, to try to gauge what I could get, and hoping that this was real, because there was no way that I could possibly pay for a slice of pizza. And keeping my eye on the door just in case it was a prank, so I could figure out how to run out of this place that I had been brought to for a slice of pizza. So the waitress came and I ordered my one slice of pepperoni pizza. And for some reason, he looked at me. He said, "If you'd like, you can get more." I said, "I can get more?" He said, "Yeah, you don't have to just get pizza. I'll have lasagna. I'll have a lasagna." And he said, would you like a salad? And I'll have a salad and I'll have a Sprite. And when they brought the lasagna and the salad and the Sprite, all I could think about was God. All I could feel in all the parts of my being was God. And I was eating and crying at the same time. And he handed me tissue to wipe my eyes. And I finished up, and he only had his one slice of pizza. And the waitress came, and he paid. And we walked out, and he said, "Should I walk you to the bookstore?" And I said, "Oh, bookstore? Oh, right, yeah, the bookstore." Every day before my deep, dark addiction, books have fed my soul. And it's almost hard to put into words the amount of appreciation that I had for this person, for this moment. Not only had my physicality been fed, but now I was feeding my soul. And I was sharing the essence and the gratitude that I have for language and books and learning and knowledge with this stranger that somehow just stepped off of the bus. We exchanged our favorites, and he even bought me a book. And then we walked out of the bookstore, and he says, "So where do you go from here?" And my eyes welled up. Both of my eyes became two big pools of tears, because once again, I was faced with this moment. Where do I go from here? And by being the type of gentleman that he was, he didn't ask me any more questions. He just walked me in a certain direction. And we ended up walking to his fraternity house, and there was an extra room downstairs. And he said, "If you like, you can stay here for the night." And he never tried anything. He came down and checked in the middle of the night just to see if I needed anything. And he went back upstairs. And then in the morning before dawn, he said, "My friends are going to be up soon. You know, where would you like for me to walk you to?" And so I didn't have any place for him to walk me to. There was no place. But I said, "Walk me back to the BART." And he walked me back to the BART. And he gave me money for the BART, because without ever saying anything, that part was obviously super clear. And when he handed me the $5, I said, "What's your name?" And he just smiled and said, "Leviticus." I had never met anyone named Leviticus, and it wasn't until years later when I remembered this story and I looked up the word Leviticus and its meaning in the Bible. It's a book about grace, and whether you are a person who follows the Bible or believes in the Bible or believes in God or even calls your higher power God, what I'd like for you to take away from today's story is that in the deepest time of need, the deepest time of need, in the darkest moment in my life, an angel came, a very real angel. And although I didn't know where I was going, I knew I wasn't going alone. I urge all of you, find something, some way to believe in a power greater than yourself right now. Where we are on this planet right now, it's not time to lose our faith. It's not time to try to live without faith. It's not time for you to try to believe that you are the one that is in charge completely of everything that is happening, because that's not going to be enough. It's not going to be enough. I urge you to take some time to try to believe in something bigger than yourself, or re-believe in something bigger than yourself, or create a belief in something bigger than yourself, because I am living proof that there is something bigger than ourselves at play. And you don't want them on this planet to steal your faith. If you have found value or meaning in this story today, like, share, comment. Like, share, comment. Now more than ever, we need connection, we need hope, we need vulnerability and divine inspiration. And remember, you are not here to fear your survival.